All right. Good morning to you all. Hope everybody's having a good Sunday morning. I tell you, I've enjoyed it so far. God bless. I hope we continue to enjoy the Sunday morning. Has any of you ever heard of CSI, the show? CSI Miami, CSI Fairbanks, Alaska. I don't know. You know, I've never watched the show, but I'm just telling you. So we're going to try to get into it a little bit. And the question I have to ask, I'm going to be over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read about the 17th verse down to this, Ephesians 5:2. If you were accused and put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were put on trial, and they were having you on trial, and they were going to try to convict you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Very simple statement. But you know what? It's profound, is it not? Very profound in what it says. You know, when someone is called there's only two things that they're asked to recount. Number one, what they have seen. Number two, what they have heard. Their opinions are not supposed to be put into it, right? Just the facts, amen? Just the facts. Not their opinion. The Apostle Paul declared that much. Say, therefore, testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Also, John said over in 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declared we unto you, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and is with the Son Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's where our fellowship lies. You know what? Whenever they bring testimony against us for being a Christian, I want them just to say what they've seen and just what they heard, not their opinion on that somebody else in this church is a great woman or a great person or a good person. I want to know the facts, the truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen? And I think that's why, you know, whenever we're talking about CSI this morning, I want to talk to you about critical spiritual investigation. And that's on that. Paul and John did not simply say their opinions. They talked and wrote about what they had actually seen. Amen? They knew what Christ had done for them in their hearts. They knew what had happened in their lives. And praise God, when they knew it, they could talk about what they seen and what they heard. It wasn't nobody's opinion. They knew just exactly what happened to them. Do you know exactly what happened to you this morning? Do you know that? All right. Let us pray. Father, we come, Lord, this morning. I'm going to come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord, for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred name. All the praise, for you are a good God, a God beyond any reasonable doubt, Lord, that you are the one and true God. And Father, we want to thank you this morning for that. We want to thank you for your Son, Jesus. We want to thank you for that's the reason we come and worship here in this church. That's the reason we come and do what we do on this beautiful Sunday morning, Lord, is to preach in a way that you see fit. I pray, Lord, you'd get me out of the way, Lord. I pray that. And Father, help me, Lord, to be the preacher, to be the husband, to be the Christian, Lord, that I need to be. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Paul and John were good witnesses, right? They were. But I want to ask you, what would someone say about you? What would they say about you? On you being a Christian, you know what? What would people say? How would they bring it across? What would it come in your life? And those standing as witnesses against you could only tell what they've seen and what they've heard out of your life. I don't want them to give me opinions. I want them to give me just exactly what they've seen and heard on a weekly basis. Or, you know, it's great coming to church. We can all come to church. And in here, you know what? We could put on the dog, so to say. We could put on the old front. But it's not in here, per se, where it all counts. The biggest life, our biggest goal, our biggest thing that we need to do out there is how we live our lives after we go out of this church. Amen? That's how we do it. Those standing with us, they go, what are your words and your life's communication against your Christian walk? What are they saying? Would we be found guilty? Would we be found guilty of truly being a committed follower of Christ? This is something you have to ask your own self. As we go with it, this is something you've got to ask. Every Christian ought to be living behind four kinds of evidence as we move through our life on a daily basis. There's four kinds of evidence against us that can be used for against us whenever we stand trial to being Christians. Number one is the physical around for a week. Where would they find themselves going? That's the physical evidence I want to ask you about. All right? You're on trial for being a Christian this morning. All right? Somebody follows you around for a week, and they have evidence to prove whether you are or whether you're not. Or do you go to church on Sunday mornings? Do you go to wonder whether Christ was truly your highest priority? Amen? Can we say that? If they put you on a trial for being a Christian, and you know what? They found you not guilty because of physical evidence, what would that say? What would that say to you? What would that say? Now, let's read Ephesians 4 right off the bat. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being packed all uncleanness with uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Amen? Physical evidence speaks of being an example. 1 Timothy for the believers in the word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. If we are going to be leave physical evidence upon this earth, brothers and sisters, this is what it'll be. It'll be our conversation. It'll be in our charity. It'll be in spirit. It'll be in faith and in purity. Circle the, you know, it means a model, something to be copied or to be followed. I want us Christians, can you put yourself out there to where you could be an example to your children, to your neighbors, to your co-workers? Are we that kind of example? Now, I want you to understand, keep in mind now, we are on trial. We are being investigated. We're put on trial for being Christian. Now, this person does all these things, so it's against him. But what if they say that you're not guilty and they cannot find no physical evidence of the fact? Man, that'd be a shame, would it not? That'd be a shame, would it not? You know what? In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said it this way, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And he said, listen, I'm an example. Be ye followers of me, not because of what Paul did, but because of what Christ did in me. Amen? You know what? We should be able to stand up and say that and not be ignorant about it, not be arrogant about it, but say, listen, be ye followers of me within me. Amen? Amen. That's what it's trying to say there. Could you say that by the way you live this week? Could you say that? Well, you know what? We need to be trendsetters. Can we say that? We need to be trendsetters when it comes to being godly examples. We need to be a trendsetter. That's what we need to be. Amen? Michael said here a little bit earlier, you know, this world we live in, we get closer as we get it. You know what? And I've even said this before, and it's the truth, and it's worth bearing over and over again. You know what? One of these days, even the very elect will be they'll be taken out of it if they're not careful, right? Amen. The very elect, he said, the very elect may not even escape if they're not careful. And those people that's been on the road for some of us standing, they don't really get into it like we should. Amen? If you're trying to prove one person by being a good example, listen to me, you're really improving two people when you do that. Amen? Can you say that? If you're trying to improve one person, well, I'll say it again, you know, by being a good example, if you try to improve someone without being a good example, you won't improve one single soul, and that's yourself included. It just won't happen. We need to be practicing a lifestyle. We need to be practicing a lifestyle that is different from our lost neighbors, our lost co-workers. We need to be doing that. Amen? If someone were to follow you around for just 1 week, would they see a difference between how you live and how kind of a off-the-wall question? Listen, there's a lot of people out there today that go to church on Sunday mornings. When they leave out of here, you could not tell them from the people that they hang out with. Amen? I've seen it. I'm not just up here telling, throwing stuff at you. I have seen it with my own eyes. I've heard it with my own ears. I know. And I'm not ever, by their fruits you shall know them. If someone were to follow you around, a lot of people think that if they live a holy life, they will, through it, They will be thought of as a religious fanatic. There are people that actually think that. I want to tell you something. I would rather be considered a religious fanatic than a hypocrite. See that? It's a trick of the devil. He knows the closer you live for Christ, the more of a witness you become. Amen? He knows that. He doesn't like it. And he will try everything in his power, okay, to get you to do, turn back around. Amen? He will try that. Yes, he will. Amen. He doesn't like it whatsoever. Take a stand for Jesus. Let the physical... If you take a stand against you for being a Christian, I want you to know, let it stand for itself. Amen. You'll be found guilty. You'll be found guilty. I'll tell you something else. There's behavioral evidence, too, can be brought against you. Amen? You know what a profiler is? You know what a profiler is? A profiler is someone who will take a psychological... If you do, they'll take those and pertaining to your case and try to accurately predict where you're going to strike again. If you're a Christian, they do that kind of stuff on there. They take and they profile people, and they can go back and they can try to figure out where this crook's going to strike again. You know what? Listen to me. It's the same. If that same profiler was to look at you and study your psychological and your spiritual motivation, I want to ask you something. I wonder how that would come out. Could he predict where you would strike again as a Christian? Can he accurately predict that? Why was that important? Because you know what? We have the mind of Christ in us. Whenever, as Christians, you know what? We as Christians, our behavior ought to be, it ought to be. Read Ephesians 4:22. Let's read that right there right now, Ephesians 4:22-24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and then in true holiness. Amen? Amen. I'll tell you what, you just think about it. If a profiler was watching your life, seeing how you do things day in and day out, you know what? Could he profile and say, well, that guy's a Christian. Well, I wonder where he's going to strike next. Amen? Where's he going to testify next? Where's the things in his life going to be? Where is this going to happen at? And they should be able to. They should. And I think this is true. The crowd around us, what? The circumstances surrounding us, and the character within us. Those are three things right there, brother. So, you know what? That's where that control is. Every day as we go about our daily walk, we must realize this, that we are being tested every day. As Christians, we are being tested. And that nothing we say or do is insignificant. Nothing that we say or do is insignificant. Amen? Whether you know it or not, you're writing the gospel. Amen? A chapter each day, you are writing it. I want to tell you something. 2 Corinthians 3:2 tells us this. Ye are your epistle written in your hearts, known and read to all men. Paul said that, and I believe that you and I are writing that. Writing the gospel of Patty. You're writing the gospel of Rosanna. You're writing the gospel of Mary. You're writing the gospel of Beverly. I'm just throwing the gospel every day. You're putting a chapter in it every day. You realize that? You are. As Paul said it, respect for a person. We're doing the same thing. We are doing that. Listen. Let's listen to this poem. I found this poem as I was studying for this. And you are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, distorted or true. What is the gospel according to you? I've said this before, and I mean it. You can find stuff in this Bible that you don't like, and you could, I just don't like what it says. What kind of a book would you have at the end of it if you tore out everything that you didn't like? It might say Bible on the outside, but you know what? It may be a Bible that you can live by. But is it a Bible that can get you to where you... There's a guy by the name of Patrick Morley, author of the book I Surrender. He made this statement, and I totally agree with it. The church's biggest problem is a misconception that we can add Christ to our lives. It is a change in belief without a change in behavior. It's a revival without reformation and repentance. In plain English, brothers and sisters, what he was trying to say, we need to start acting like we're saved. We need to start acting like, let's demonstrate that we are followers of Jesus. You know, you are not by the evidence they show. Am I right? You can do that. Their actions will speak louder than their words. Amen? They will do that. A Christian's actions should speak louder than their words. Matthew 7:16 tells us, ye shall know them by their fruits. Our behavior will be controlled by the character that is in what you do in private. That's exactly what character is. Character is what you do when you're at your house by yourself, no one around, no one there to watch you, no one there to set you straight. That's where your character is at right there. Every one of us, that's where our character. You might say that's the real you, and it is the real you. That's where your character starts right then. You know what he said? He said, live that you would not mind selling your pet parrot to the town gossip. That's true. Behavioral evidence be enough to help convict us if somebody was to pull us into court for being a Christian. Would the way that we behave be enough to convict us of what we're doing? Amen? Testimonial evidence against us is the next thing I want to talk about. If your conversations were recorded for a few days, and what would your... If they put a tape on you, and you could not take it off, and they could record you for a week or 2 weeks, let's just put it that way, and you didn't know it was on there. Let's just do it that way. If you didn't know it was on there, and they brought it out, what would your words show? Would they characterize words of grace, encouragement? Would they be action? Should they? Or would they be full of gossip? Judgmental towards others. You know what? Christian is to be Christ-like. Amen? That's what it is supposed to be. To call ourselves a Christian, to say, I am living my life after the pattern of Christ. That's what, if we stand up and call ourselves Christians, Jesus, please don't pattern your life after Dave Long. Please don't pattern your life after anybody else in this church. Don't do that. That's not what this is. Yes, I would like people to look to me. Like Paul said, I would like to do that. And you know what? But your pattern, if I'm living right, I'm living my life after Christ, and you should live yours after Christ also. Amen? I'll tell you what an awesome responsibility that is. What an awesome responsibility. We should do our very best not to say anything that would degrade. A Sunday school teacher asked her class, does anyone here know where the Lord lives? A little boy raised his hand to answer. He said he lives in the bathroom. So the Sunday school teacher was intrigued. And against her better judgment, she asked him, why does Jesus live in the bathroom? Daddy goes to the bathroom door and says, good Lord, are you still in there? And you know, that's, we can laugh at that. And that's funny. I understand that. But you know what? But we need to realize... We need to realize that others outside and inside of our home measure our relationship with Jesus by the way we use His Word. I'll tell you what, there's not. I guarantee you, people will listen to the way that you use Jesus Christ or you use God in words. And I'm going to tell you what, they will look at that. They will look at that. I'm telling you right now, our words are not only a testament of who we are, but of whose churches across the USA, whose relationship with Jesus Christ is one of the best kept secrets in the world. There are people who are sitting in churches today, and they come to church faithfully week after week, but when they're out in the world, you would never know that they're a Christian because they keep it as a secret. They don't want nobody to know. I don't want nobody to know that I'm a Christian. And there are people like that in this world today who are Christians, and it's the best kept secret ever. Too many don't talk about Him with family and friends of course. Never mention what He's done for your life. We're treading on dangerous territory when we do that. Do you know why? Do you know why that is? Because me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of Him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in glory of His Father with His holy angels. Jesus Christ before a lost and dying world. I want to tell you something. When you stand before Him one of these days, He's going to be ashamed of you. He's going to be ashamed of you. That's sad to me. That scripture's sad to me. But you know what? A Savior that's done so much for me. Probably all just use me as an example. Shows me how to live my life day in and day out. And done so much for me. And I cannot stand and praise Him and say, God, You are so good. You changed my life. Why wouldn't I want Him to change other people's lives and let them know that He could do it? Listen, remember this. Your silence can imply, it can, consent or endorsement to what those people. It can condone that, what they're doing. If we're not careful. You know, a pastor went to a Christian book supply store to buy a CD. And the girl that was at the register gave him back too much money intentionally. You know why she did it? Because she had just been to his church and heard him. He gave her the change back, and she told him, she said, "I wanted to see how you, if you practice what you preached." She did it intentionally. You know what? It's one of those things. You know what? Again, would this testimony of evidence be enough to convict us? Would that be enough to convict us, brothers, if we were standing before evidence? Do you realize that all of us as Christians, you just look down at those fingers of yours, and every one of you have a different set of fingerprints. You know that. I know you guys all know that. Everybody's fingerprints in here is different. Everybody's in here is different. And you know, you think about it. You know what that tells me? That God has a purpose. Everybody outside of here has a purpose. The FBI stores millions of those fingerprints in a database. Data, whatever you want to say, and stores them. And you know what they do? If there's been a crime or something, they get all those known fingerprints. They go back through and check them, and they can find out if somebody that was registered in that database. Of course, everybody's fingerprints are unique to them. You know, God has created us to be special in our own way. He has done that. Of the 6 billion people in the world, 6 billion with a B, just put that into comprehension a little bit. Every one of us is unique. Every one of us. Isn't God amazing? Let's praise Him. Amen. He's so good to us. Listen, He made each of us unique in our own way. We leave, you know, each one of us can leave behind fingerprints on the lives of others. Do we understand that? We can do that. We do. Parents, grandparents, on the lives of our children. Let's read Ephesians 4:30 down through the rest of what we're going to read. And grieve not. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Fifth chapter, first verse. Be ye therefore followers of Christ, of God, as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also to God for a sweet smelling savor. Amen. Those are sweet words right there, are they not? That's sweet scripture. Amen. We don't say on this earth, we don't stay on this earth very long. You know that? After we are grown or not, it remains. It remains right there. My grandson, my daughter, my son, and my other grandson, my granddaughter. What I do, it remains in them. And it'll be in them the rest of their lives. You don't think so? Ask Mike if he doesn't remember his grandfather. I remember my grandfather. I remember my grandmother. And the influence that man had. And I still talk about him today. And I wasn't even his family. I'm telling you, listen to me. The people that have influenced your life, your grandfather, they have left their fingerprints upon your life. Whether you know it or not, they are there for the rest of it. They've done that. You know, the fingerprint of the Word. The people we love see us spending hours in front of the TV. Or do they see us pouring up? Amen or ouch. Right? Do they see us doing that? I'll tell you, Ruth Graham, you know who Ruth Graham was? She's passed away now, but Billy Graham's wife. Her father was a busy missionary doctor over in China, out the door. Ruth watched that. Her mother would read the Bible every night before she got, not just read it, she would study it. Every night before she went to bed. And guess what? What Ruth Graham did. She became one of the best Bible readers you could ever. She said she would read her Bible consistently and try. Billy needed a helpmate. God knew that. You know what? Show me two better people in this world that have spread the gospel down through their lives. Show me too many people better than Billy Graham and Ruth Graham. I'll tell you this. It's important to have honesty and to have integrity. You know, the fingerprint of honesty has to be there, right? It's so important to live an honest life for our children. But if we're inconsistent on the way we live our lives and how honest we are, I want you to know something. Those kids right there are going to pick up on it. They're going to pick up on it. Your kids are going to pick up on it. My grandkids will pick up on it. Josh came into my study, where my study is last night. He came in there and he said, "Papa, are you studying?" He knows I do it just by caught my little box in there. I'm in there trying to see what God has for me. If he wants me to change the sermon or do what with it, whatever I have to do down through the week. And you know what? Josh seen it. I hope Josh remembers that. I don't care. Whatever God has in store for him, whatever it may be, I don't care if he's just a good Christian to come to church every day. I want him to know, studying the Word of God. Listen, honesty. the fingerprint of prayer. I am so glad for prayer warriors that I've known in my life. There's a lot of you in here that pray for me. I know you do. I feel it for my life. That have prayed. And I know that they got a hold of God when they prayed. Listen, prayer is a fingerprint. Pray. Let them know that you are a prayer warrior. The fingerprint. You know, listen to me. I'm so glad for prayer warriors. They have left a lasting impression on me. And listen to me. I guarantee you people leave a lasting impression. I could go through this church this morning. I've heard people testify about it. I've heard John Stalwell. I've listened to what people talk about him. What about Rick? What about all the other ones that's in here that's passed and gone? Maybe they're still here. I've heard people talk about them and tell me what they've meant to their lives. And listen to me. That is something. Praise God for you. Need to be the same way. The fingerprint of an enduring testimony, folks. There's nothing like it. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that ye has heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Paul was saying that the witness that you heard about me, find what Jesus Christ has done. Be the testimony. Be that fingerprint of that witness that's upon your life. Be it. A guy by the name of George Mueller. I know you don't know him. But he had a friend that he prayed for 45 years. He'd go to church and testify how he wanted his friend saved. His friend never got saved the whole time. He was 5 years later. 45 years later, his friend got saved at the funeral. You know why I think that's important to have an altar call at a funeral? I think it is, especially if the person was a Christian. Because you don't never know. You just don't never know. But that's just me. That's just me. Tell you what. His friend was saved. He didn't give up because of the fingerprint of his testimony. His friends got saved at his funeral. Is the fingerprint that kind that Christ uses to change others? Is the fingerprint in you the kind that Christ will use to change others? Are you leaving your mark behind? CSI investigator. Not for everybody else in the church. I want you to take your finger and point it right at yourselves. That's where we need to be. We need to be CSI investigators for ourselves. Critical spiritual investigators for ourselves is what we need. Not for everybody else. We can, you know, we don't preach funerals. The person that's laying in that casket has already preached their funeral. They have. Their witness is done. Their witness has already been out there before. They've done did that. You know what? Today we need to become critical spiritual investigators. Discover whether there's enough evidence in our lives to convict us of being Christians. If they put us on trial for being a Christian. You suppose there is? Don't suppose. Don't hope that there is. They come and get a song.